What's it called?
It's like it's called Make That Boy Pussy Bounce. And it's a homosexual artist.
Oh, okay, okay.
In case you didn't put that part together.
I did not put it together yet.
But my dude Chris showed it to me last night. And it's literally like those, you know, the new style of hip-hop where it's just like one word sentence, here we go, stuff like that. And it's just that club annoying. No, this is like, it's got that beat, but it's that, there's no, it's horrible. That's going to put me on a whole other rant for the state of music in America, though. But
Make That Boy.
Boy Pussy Bounce, yeah.
And that is how we start with Not Another Podcast. Yeah. I hit record, you didn't see it. Nick, you saw that I hit record, didn't you?
I wasn't sure, but I felt
like it. And so I was like, uh-huh. Say that again?
Louder into the mic, please.
So again, this is Samantha Stark for Not Another Podcast, dubbing it Not Another Podcast Midwest. Because we are in Ohio, and a lot of people think Ohio is East Coast, but it's not. It is Midwest. We're right on the border. So, F you, people. Not really. But anyway, so, sorry.
Really?
I'm tired.
They're all
to be
drowning
up
in California anyway, right. So fuck that. Right. You know, they want rain, we give them rain, and then they're like, now we can't live, we're drowning.
Glug, glug,
glug. Flash floods.
Anyway,
there was a flash flood. It's, oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was.
But really, that's like, work talk.
Apparently a hurricane hit there. I didn't know that.
Oh California? My gosh, I didn't even know that either.
That's where all that rain. No, right?
I figured that was more of a Gulf Coast and East Coast sort of thing.
Well, apparently hurricanes can hit anywhere except for maybe Kansas. But at that point, it's called a tornado.
Let's do a tornado of introductions really quick. Again, Samantha here, and from, of course, Not Another Podcast.
I'm me, and I'm from me.com. No, I'm not Apple. I am Nick Art. No, Jesus Christ. This is what happens, people. Nick Nitro. I'm from gbgpodcast.com and utmt.com. I'm done. It's your turn.
I'm Ryan Estep. I'm from RSG Podcast, rsgpodcast.com, Random Search Generator on Facebook and other social medias. Probably Elo is at this point, too. I don't remember.
Don't remember stuff.
Yeah.
So, how was everybody's week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was off all week, so super relaxed.
So he had a good week.
You're off for like the next two, aren't you?
Next 2 weeks in a row, yeah. So with the exception of Thursday the 30th, because I couldn't get that day off.
Yeah, one random day couldn't get off. So he's gonna come into work all stinking of woods and sweat and balls.
Yep. And I'm
beer.
Gonna sit there and
Is it a Saturday or something?
It's a Thursday.
It's a Thursday.
It's a Thursday. Like a Saturday I can
corporate
understand
America,
I was having trouble getting Saturdays anyway.
Yeah.
But they're just like, no, we're gonna go ahead and give you Friday and Saturday, but you're not getting that Thursday. That's not happening.
We've had too many days off in a row, so we can't do that. You're not allowed that.
Shenanigans.
Kind of makes me wish I still had sick time.
So you're going to what's called Penzic?
Yeah.
Explain a little about that.
Well, if you already know what Penzic is, then you're on a whole other level of nerd with me. But basically, Penzic is a international event. I mean, we've had people there from Finland and a few other places. But it's like a giant 2 week long Renaissance festival with actual full contact combat and everything else. And they use what's called rattan swords, and they're wearing full plate armor and padding and stuff. And there's like 800 on one side, 1,000 on the other side, and they proceed to beat each other up. So I don't particularly participate in that because it's like 99 degrees with 100% humidity in the field that they do that at. And they're wearing heavy padding and everything else, and you can't really drink the water because it's like super well water. So I just like to watch and go back to my little tent and camp.
Boy, he likes to watch then go back to his little tent. Voyeurism at its best.
I'm not denying.
I mean, there's a part of that that's sort of cool. You can see jousting and shit.
No, there's no horses or anything like that.
Oh.
It's just like.
Bummed,
but it's kind of cool though. Okay, yeah, that would be cool to see some jousting.
Yeah, but the thing is, people would probably die at that point.
Because people go. You're only supposed
people
to hit
suck.
A certain power, but all that's out the window. When those two armies are clashing together, the ground is rumbling, and it's like in Braveheart, it's the movie. It just in your face.
Do they wear kilts?
Some do.
Talk about 3D.
The fuck? So they're like all out of time,
yeah,
kind of thing.
Too.
Like it's like you got some kilts in there.
Well,
you got some knights.
Yeah. Basically, they have to wear cups though. You have to be protected because if you're running into the battle,
I would hope so.
Yeah. But it's anything pre-16th century. So
question: I'm raising my hand for those at home. Can't tell. the Doctor transcends all of time. Can there be an army of Doctors?
That would be awesome.
I'm talking about Doctor Who, the Doctor, the only Doctor, because
the
he
best
could
doctor.
Go back and the best Doctor.
No, because the it's run by the Society of Creative Anachronisms.
Well, yeah, they wouldn't allow that.
Probably. No. And
they're notorious Doctor haters.
They don't want that fantasy in there. They want more of a reenactment. So, like, if you're walking around and you've got elf ears on,
you don't know Doctor Who's not real.
There is one camp that's the doorway to their camp is a TARDIS, so you have to go in the TARDIS to get into their camp.
It's bigger on the inside.
Yeah, it's because the way it works is like.
It's awesome.
The way everything's
cool.
set up, you
I want a
have
TARDIS for my
houses
front door.
That have sheet wall up. You have houses that have sheet wall up everywhere, so you can't see in, and you have these elaborate doors. Some are like giant skulls. Some are pirate ships. Some are TARDIS. TARDIS?
TARDIS?
Yeah.
TARDISes.
One of my favorite is Kindred, and theirs is just like a giant red wolf head as a door.
Winter is coming.
Yeah, when you open it up, then they've got their land all set up.
So is the wolf cop.
Yeah.
Yeah, the wolf cop was ready for Renaissance festivals.
Well, back in the day, the witches would tie people up to the trees, the wolves, and then fuck them kill them.
Yeah.
I was a little confused by that.
I think
part,
so, yeah.
Right? All the wizard
saying,
people.
That's what I'm saying, but it made a little more sense. You're like, oh, okay, it's a ritual, and wolf gotta die. Okay.
Yeah.
Wolf's gotta die, people gotta eat. You know. So we all ran into each other at the movie theater, going to see two different movies. So Ryan and I decided we want to go to a movie, and then I turn around and I see Nick's girlfriend. And she's the first one I saw, and I was like, Sarah! You're Sports Illustrated! And then I was like,
fine.
There's Nick and everybody else we work with. So,
yeah,
you guys were going to see
Jurassic World, which we saw already,
mm-hmm.
but Tim, our coworker, hadn't seen, and then someone else. Who else was with us?
Ross was there,
Ross
and
was
Sarah's
there.
Friend Mary and her husband.
Oh, yeah.
How's it I've met that person one time, and I know them better than
I forgot for a second who was all there.
I was just teasing.
I saw Ant-Man like a few days later again, so I was a little bit like, I don't know who I was with really at the time. Mary and Brother, because they hadn't seen it either, because they can't do 3D really well, so Jurassic World was in non-3D.
Okay.
And, it was a lot of fun. And our coworker Ross was really sweet. He gave up his chair so Sarah and I could sit together because I told Tim the wrong information. So Tim didn't get enough tickets. So I. And granted, Sarah could have come down and sat next to me because ended up no one there. But also Roth with his, he hurt his foot somehow.
Yeah, he might have gout. His appointment is tomorrow, isn't it?
I think so.
Or was
it
today?
Yeah.
It was either today or tomorrow. Work in a small room where we are elbow to elbow, and there is 12 of us total. So, we know each other very well.
Up next, we're going to talk about his thyroid problem, which creates a little thing around it. He looks like the Mexican George Lucas.
Interesting.
Even though he's Jewish.
The Jewish Mexican
George Lucas. Because you know he has that, like, was it that goiter? It's like a little...
Glottal?
Yeah.
Or, turkey gobbler?
The turkey gobbler. Jar Jar Binks is a rather important part of Star Wars.
And he uses that, too, for when he, like, he hems and haws a lot. So he's always like, and?
Yeah.
You're just like, put it away. Put your throat away.
Steven, I'm really excited here for the documentary crew. I want you to be the director of episode one. And I just remember watching that in the documentary, and Steven looks right at the camera and looks right at George and looks at, like, it's beautiful, like, life-size, like, droid from the first movie. And because he's playing with it. And because, you know, Steven's like, this is amazing, George. And he asks him, and he's like, George, I'm going to have to actually honestly decline as much as I think it would be great. I'm going to decline because you can just see the horror in his face. And you're like, even Spielberg knows it's shit. oh, Jesus. But no, it was, we had a lot of fun. I liked Jurassic World. It was
me
good.
Too. So, like, I know,
you didn't like it?
We all loved Jurassic Park. Nick and I have read the Jurassic Park books as well. I'm still reading the second one. But we've read Jurassic Park by Michael Crichton. If you haven't read it, it's pretty awesome.
And Lost World.
Yep. So I just started that one. We've read the books. We've all seen all the movies, and even the bad ones we still love. I had...
That's a statement for you. I didn't like the second and third
Whatever. So, when Jurassic World, I was so excited. And every time he'd be like, it's going to be terrible. And I'm like, I know, but I'm still really hopeful. And Chris Pratt's in it. And I thought he was hot even before, even when he was chubby. And yes, he is. Oh, my gosh. Like, a few days later, I had a dream that I was shooting a movie with him. And I was like, I woke up. I was like, why is that not my life? I was very sad.
Anytime you have a dream with Chris Pratt, period, and then you wake up and it's not real, then
that's
disappointing.
It's disappointing.
It's a day of depression.
It doesn't have to be a movie. It could be
anything.
I just
sex?
Went to the grocery store. Well, that's a different way to go. I was going to say buying groceries with Chris Pratt.
I went grocery shopping with Chris Pratt.
Because he just walks up and he would like, I saw you old couple over there coming from the left. I got the corn right now. I see you, Echo Leader. You just do that with the people in the aisle.
That would be fun to see him do it at like a kid's place where there's kids running around. He just like stops the kids. They're just
The dude from Jurassic World. We're
most of the he gets on a motorcycle and little kids are running next to him.
Yeah, and they play that really awesome like weird thing like da 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 da. And he's like looking at him like, this is fucking working. Like, you
know, he's like the Pied Piper.
Yeah,
a little bit. Oh, I thought
I enjoyed it.
Like even the second time, I was like, man, I really love this movie. Like,
I can't.
What can't you about it? Why?
Oh, okay. Well, let's go down the line here.
Okay.
So you've got another island, which now I understand there's multiple islands.
They went back
right?
to the first
no,
one. They went back
the
to Isla Nublar,
oh,
which is the original.
Oh, that's
yeah.
right. That's right. Because they went.
It was
okay.
on the boat.
Well, I understand.
Isla Sorna being the other one.
That's right. Yeah, the five deaths. Sorry, continue.
Okay. As long as I can continue now.
No, you can't. You've stopped.
Anyway, so the people who like it.
Yeah. Continue.
Anyways.
No, alright. The main thing I didn't like is they named this creature Indominus Rex. Its camouflage can hide its thermal signature, which mm-hmm. is crap.
It's science,
it's, yeah, but I mean, it's like, one, it's Indominus Rex. They have a giant fight. Spoilers. If you
yeah,
haven't
yeah,
seen
spoiler
it.
Alert. So, skip. Like 5 minutes.
Yeah. At the very end, there's
five.
A giant fight.
10 minutes.
Where the redhead runs the T-Rex out. The T-Rex immediately starts fighting Indominus Rex, which is cool. I mean, you know, but it's almost obvious T-Rex is going to lose because of arms, you know. But then the raptor, old Blue, who I thought was crushed when it got thrown against the wall, and comes out there. And then there's like this weird tag team against Indominus Rex where the raptor's like biting the ankles and then jumping and climbing up the T-Rex and jumping on the... I mean, come on.
That was like...
Really?
The best part.
I thought that was like fucking awesome.
I was like, yeah!
Because it was literally like, you know, the Rex... like, you know, they didn't say it clearly in the movie, but I know Chris Pratt and Colin Trevorrow said that, like, that's the original T-Rex from Jurassic Park. Because they said if that was the original Rex, that girl would have been dead. That's how she was able to outrun that thing in heels. And so it's already battle weary. It's already like, you know,
scarred
and scarred. And matter of fact, yeah, someone said that. I think Ross was saying, he's like, yeah, I saw the scars on the Rex where the raptors attacked it from the first movie.
Oh,
and I'm like, I did see scars.
Twice,
I didn't see it yet either.
I saw scars, but I thought that was from Indominus Rex.
I thought
it doesn't,
at the very,
yeah,
very,
yes,
very end.
Yes, because it doesn't tell you how long time has elapsed.
Right. So I don't know.
And all the genetic creations, like, there were...
The T-Rex raptor!
Right, yeah. The T-Rex raptor flying creatures.
Those cracked me up.
Those were... Oh, I think those are based after real...
Were they? Because it looked like a T-Rex head on, like, a pterodactyl miniature body. It almost looked like a pug flying through the air, but like a T-Rex pug.
I really do think...
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I really do think they might be... based on a real dinosaur bird.
Okay.
I could be wrong, because there were rumors that there was another creative thing, but they say very clearly in the movie that there are no other...
Hybrids?
No hybrids yet. Like,
but that looks
different.
Like a clear hybrid to me.
No, it...
Like, the first time I saw
it,
I was like, I didn't see what I just saw. And then
my first thought was it's a hybrid, but the more I saw it, was like, you know...
Might be something real.
Yeah, but here's the other thing too, which they...
Because there's a pterosaur, which is different than a pterodactyl.
Right, and really pterodactyls are actually completely different than a Petrodon, which a lot of people confuse the two.
Mm-hmm.
I still, when I think of a Pterodactyl, I'm really thinking of a Petrodon. I really have no idea what a Pterodactyl looks like, except for what people describe in Wikipedia. Like, the like they're actually like 1,000 times bigger.
Mm-hmm, they're,
like they're
huge.
They're huge. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
I have no idea.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, so when people think of a Pterodactyl, like even Spielberg, apparently Lost World, like it ends with the Pterodactyl landing. It's really a Petrodon. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm,
like,
they're
it's,
the condensed version, sort of.
Yeah, so... No, I really, but the line, there's a line in there that they give them, they won credit over with me too, because they're like, look, we've designed these dinosaurs exactly how you want them
right.
to be designed. You know what? If you design a straight up dinosaur, it would not be how it really would be. We've given you what you wanted, because like
you can't
dinosaurs
have all
feathers.
The ferocity without the partnered aggression.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a little bit too,
yeah.
But also like people look at think if you ask any Joe Schmo what they think of a dinosaur, they're going to draw a featherless.
Lizard.
Yeah. And really, like, the Tyrannosaurus in real life, the people theorize, was just covered with feathers. And matter of fact, that little arm is like a chicken arm, where they have a massive wing, but it literally is just connected to these little whatever. But they can't fly. But yeah, so I was like...
It's like a giant ostrich or whatever, can't fly.
Right, so I was just like, well played on you, because Dr. Wu,
Yeah, B.D. Wong is like one of my favorite... Every time I see B.D. Wong, it makes me happy. I don't know what it is about the guy, but every time he's in something, I'm like, it's B.D. Wong!
I know,
and
then,
I love him.
Because when you watch the first
great.
Movie, you're like, it's B.D. Wong, and he's gone. Okay, okay. But I was actually... I didn't like that in the movie, but that's because the original book... Dr. Wu is, he's not a bad guy, he's just, he's going after the wrong thing. That's the whole point of the first
movie. Well,
no, so
Hammond in the book is a jerk.
Yeah.
He's, I love him much more in the movies.
So
I'm just like, you're my grandpa.
You, yeah, and he's literally a demented Disney, but tries to correct it, mistake, which he's like, I don't endorse your prequel, neither do I. Like, you know, in the book, it's just like, it's Wu's fault. No, no, it's Nedry's fault. No, no, no.
Malcolm's fault.
It's Malcolm's fault. It's the goddamn grandkids. I wish they would just die.
Yes, it was
and
terrible.
You're just like, yeah, and then of course
those damn kids.
The kids are trying to fix the system, and so they actually hit the mating call of the T-Rex, and it scares him, so he falls down and hit him and compies him.
Yeah. And yeah, so the death in the second one that one guy had,
yeah.
Where the compies chase him down
the
down the river.
Fargo.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how Hammond dies.
Yeah, that was Hammond's death in the book.
Yeah.
And it was pretty cool. So like reading it, I was just like, ha! So I liked it.
Right?
But then, you know, because you're talking about that being birds, and Michael Crichton he always researches his books.
Overly so in some
Oh
cases.
My gosh.
Yeah, which is good and bad.
Yeah, because sometimes he gets a little too technical, then it turns into like you're reading a textbook, and I was like, oh my God!
You remember the opening of the book, of the first Jurassic Park, is it almost feels like you're reading a college research paper, where
yeah.
it just talks about the engine incident, and you're just like,
yeah,
fuck
I was
is the
like,
engine?
Okay.
Like, I read that book, when I read it recently, I was like, what the I know what engine is, but like, what the fuck is this? I don't know what's
going on.
And then I realized, oh yeah, I remember now. It's like they're setting up like something happened. It's an incident, that engine, but no one knows what engine really did,
mm-hmm.
and nobody knows what the heck happened. But it's in a remote area of Costa Rica, and then and then the book starts, and you're like, oh, it's Jurassic Park.
So I think for this movie, to you guys,
mm-hmm.
like you guys are fans of the. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like Game of Thrones for me, where I will sit there and I will talk about the joys of the Game of Thrones and the few episodes
the
that
so
are
great.
Really good. I'm all about.
Yeah.
And somewhere I'm like, okay, I can see where they're going with this. That works out. But then there's some parts where it's just so way off that I just revert back to the book. So it seems like this is your Game
of
Thrones.
It's the whole last season. It's the whole last season.
Yeah.
Anyways. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess so.
Well, Lost World had some, or Jurassic World had some flaws, definitely. Like, I was really confused about the whole what the hell engine was really doing with Vincent DeFornia. Like, I understand the point.
He's a good guy. I like him.
And, you know, he was fantastic.
His shirt was a little too tight in that movie.
I think it just added to his sleaziness.
Yeah, right? It really did.
It really, was.
It really
yeah.
did.
But the idea, I was confused on where his place in the board was and what, like, how is it, I think that part, and they probably cut it out, I don't know. But I needed more clarification on that because, look, I get it, he's the heavy, and I like the twist that B.D. Wong's in bed with him in terms of wanting to do all the horrible stuff with the dinosaurs.
Okay.
But my problem is that the one Indian guy who apparently does have, for the most part, has a good head on his shoulders, he's trying to do Hammond's dream right. Sort of.
He got lost in the legend, though.
I liked that guy. Yeah. He was funny.
Oh, Jesus. Exactly. When he landed in the airplane after I saw it. But everyone's seen the trailer, but when he landed the plane, I was like, he's going to die in the helicopter.
Yep. As soon as you see the helicopter, and she's just like, the girls in there, like, oh my God. You're just like,
that's so sad because I like him a lot. But that's the thing, though. It almost feels like it's a little bit of a. Like, he's a good guy, and he knows what he's trying to do, but then he did answer that memo. But that's how Hammond was a little bit, too, or Wu was. As I'm saying, it feels like, it feels very muddled, and it's not 100% clear. But then, not only that, so if he runs the Board of Engine, then won't they shut him, in fact, down, too, and kick him out? But the way he words it to Vincent DeForneo is like, you know, the board will hear about this, and we'll do it that way. He's like, you don't have a choice in the matter. It's like, whoa. What the hell's going on here? That part was muddled and confusing to me.
I mean, speculation?
Yeah.
What's his name? Vincent?
Yeah.
DeForneo.
Okay.
Bad guy.
It seemed like he was more interested in weaponizing. Technology.
Well, I get that, too. Right. But, like, I guess what I'm saying, I don't understand, like, who appointed him on the board. Like, that's the thing that's a little confusing. Like, because it also, you get the impression that the CEO of Engine has no idea what the hell's going on, but the Engine board does.
Right.
And that's
so they
the
keep
part.
It from you.
That's the part that, and of course, now they could be setting it up for the sequel, of course, where B.D. Wong creates more dinosaurs and then go, I don't know.
You wanted a monster. Like, that whole thing there, I was just like,
right,
ah!
He's like, what was your memo again? I believe the word was cool. And I'm like, oh, that's, and that reminds me a lot of the first book.
Yes.
A little
yep.
bit. Like, Wu was not that cold and callous.
Right.
He was just like, you design me, design me.
Yeah, trying
part.
To guide Hammond to see it his way, because after a while B.D. Wong was like, or I'm sorry, Dr. Wu in the books was just like, okay, this is a little too much, we're taking it too far,
we need more controls, or we're
yeah.
starting to lose control
yes.
of the animals, and like look, but now he was also a little prideful, which is mm-hmm. Which is like, Dr. Grant's wrong, Malcolm's wrong too, the animals are not breeding in the park. There's just no way. We would have caught it by now.
Yeah, and Arnold in the book was super prideful, too.
A little bit in a different way.
Yes.
Which is, Arnold ran Disney for a bit and other theme parks, but I mean, so that was a huge problem with me. And the second time I saw it, I was like, I have no... I get that he wants to use the technology for, like, that's very clear. But, like, in terms of, like, the infrastructure of how it all works boils down to the park,
mm-hmm.
like management, like, that throws me off a bit. So it's like, he dies and the board goes and just appoints him, like, okay, like... I don't know. That was a little confusing. And then I know they're trying to set it up for a sequel, but it's just like, well, I'm still a little confused by that. Also, I didn't mind the fact... I liked the Raptors and the T-Rex fight at the end.
Me too. It was fun.
Yeah. I
it was entertaining. It's what
and I thought Blue was dead too, but that's the thing, though, is when Blue got hit against the wall and I thought Blue died too... I'm not gonna lie, I got a little teared up because I was like,
it's like the
"You
second,
made me care about the raptor."
Yeah,
right,
but that's like the second time that raptors died. Because remember when they're in the woods, it got shot with a missile.
That
wasn't one of,
Blue.
That wasn't Blue.
Right,
that was
there was
Charlie.
Only three raptors altogether.
Four.
Right?
There's four.
Charlie,
okay.
Delta, Blue, and oh crap, Alpha.
No, not Alpha. Alpha is Chris Pratt.
Yes. Sorry.
Charlie, Delta,
Blue.
Yeah, there is a fourth
Delta
one
Blue.
Though.
So the one that... I thought the one that got blown up with the rocket, which that rocket came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I was just kind of like, really?
It was that guy in the log.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to lie, that took me out of... Like, that took me by surprise the first time I saw it, and it was a little bit sad because that's what I'm saying. I will say, like, I think that the movie did 100% right by that is the relationship between the Raptors and Chris Pratt. Because, like, I guess to me, like, the amalgamation of that final fight scene was like, yes, kill that fucker. Blue, kill him. Like, yeah, team up with the Rex, even cooler. Like, I was rooting for Blue. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
screw the humans getting out alive. I really wanted the Rex. Like, because then if you think about, like, they're the last two of their kind. Like, and they're just sort of... I got a little emotional with that, I'm not going to lie. So I was viewing it from that end. I was like, they're the less. And then even at the end where like it just looks at Chris Pratt, he's like, uh-uh. And I was like, okay, you live. And just runs off. But then as it walks, I was like, she's the last kind. I'm feeling so sad.
I know.
Yeah. She won't be the last.
Well,
she's
we know this as
pregnant.
Viewers, but
yeah.
like she doesn't know. Well, it's like Chris Pratt says, which I thought was clever. It's like... It doesn't know it was extinct for how many years. It doesn't know
right.
it was born in a lab, you know. Which, but
I do think that was a good way that they explained the mindset of Indominus Rex, which the name just makes me laugh. But
have you ever heard a child say blah 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 whatever?
Yeah, well, trying to say
Oh my! I couldn't even read it. I was like, "How the hell do you say this?" Prodecemithesimithesimithesimithesimithes.
Yes, that's a technical term. I'll take it.
Right. Yeah. I'll just stick with compies.
But I mean, so what else bothered you about the movie?
Well, there's a lot of the dialogue stuff I didn't like. It just seemed like how does this little kid know? Like, how do these kids know how to restart that Jeep?
Oh, the kid
that was dead for like
years. That was a little.
And I'm just kind of like, okay, so we know that sound is what triggers this thing to come after you. So you're gonna turn on the rusty old Jeep.
Well, they don't necessarily know that. Well, not to the effect that they do and they don't. You know what I mean? Like, they don't know to the level that. But I will give you that. Like, when I was watching that, I was like, it just felt very out of place. It was the whole thing is like,
and then the whole divorce thing.
Gonna,
I was like,
we're
we
gonna,
can,
mom's getting a divorce. And I'm like,
we could do without that.
I don't really care.
Not at all.
It was just like the kid's happy, the kid's crying. I was like, is this kid bipolar? Right. Like, what's going on with this right
here?
Well,
when Sarah watched the movie, because she's a teacher and she deals with kids like that, she's like, he's on the spectrum. He's hardcore on the spectrum. Because if you notice at the beginning of the movie, he's like, we have so many hours, so many minutes. He got right down to the perspective thing, and that's why. And then he just kept rambling out facts about dinosaurs a little bit.
Yeah.
So she was just like, you know.
So she called it, basically.
She called it, and yeah, because she's like, that reminds me of a kid in her class this last year and who she adored. But, you know, he had some, you know, I remember we were trying to do a comic project I was helping with, and there's a Super Wimpy Baby or Super Baby or something like that. It's a comp kid. It's like a book for kids, whatever. It's kind of like the Wimpy Kid Diaries, but. Oh my gosh, like we had to do like you need to do a 12 page outline, and the kids were doing it, but I mean he was just really for your comic book page.
Mm-hmm.
And he literally was just doing the same exact thing that was in the book. Like he couldn't think like that creatively. Mm-hmm. He could only do what he's already seen. But
Echo.
Yeah, so
Blue Charlie Echo Delta.
Echo Delta.
It took me long enough to find it. I was like, how many articles are gonna talk about them but not give us the names?
I will say one thing I like, though, is the little attendant that the redhead had follow the kids around. They got, like, snatched up in the air and then got...
The Mosasaur.
A lot of people thought that was almost, like, undeserved. And I'm like honestly, I was part of the person
shocking.
Who was just like... It was shocking, yeah, but the other part of me was just like,
saw it coming.
She deserved it a little bit because she didn't give a crap about the kids.
Yeah.
She just followed them around doing whatever.
Well, and the thing is, and then you pointed it out, and I was like, oh, is that the Mosasaur got the pterodactyl. She went right into the gullet. She was probably still alive while she was being digested.
Yep.
That was awesome.
So
I was like,
yeah, the digestive juices just dissolved
her.
Acids just tearing
but
you apart.
That was the other thing, though, too, is that I liked that Rex and Blue, though, didn't really get the final thing. And, like, it was, like, I thought that was pretty badass. But it was like, I didn't see that was how it was going to go. Like, I just saw.
Yeah, I didn't see
until,
that.
Until it hit the fence. And I'm like, what that fence for? And then you just see the water a little bit. And I'm like, oh, yes. Whoosh.
Open up
better. Is all you need is Samuel L. Jackson talking out of the Indominus Rex. Yeah. He's like, we're going to kill you, Rex and Raptor, and then I'm going to get out of. Like, what the hell just happened? Yeah. Samuel L. Jackson, Indominus Rex just got killed by the officer.
Oh, Deep Blue Sea. I will say, if they did not close up on him, like all intense, like in Deep Blue Sea,
yeah,
it would have been much more surprising that a shark got him. Because, and you know, I'm not even going to say spoilers because if that's a spoiler to you, too bad the movie's been out long enough.
Yeah.
But if you didn't, like, that just made it so obvious to me. I was like,
see,
come on.
It didn't me. Not at all. Like, I
they
should have like,
kept that
first
full
time
body
I saw
shot.
That scared the shit out of me because they were just focusing so up there. Like,
that's
was,
what gave it away for me.
I didn't think that at all because he's Samuel L. Jackson. He's the lead of the movie. I literally considered him and the girl to be the lead of the movies. That's why, to me, it even surprised me going further that the girl died.
That one,
and that Thomas Jane and LL Cool J get out.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, LL Cool J survived? He's the comic relief. Right? He usually dies.
And a black comic relief
and
at that.
And the black one, yes. Like,
I mean,
like
he just broke
trouble.
All sorts of stereotypes with that one.
Yeah, he did. Before I die, I want my wife to know how to make a perfect outline.
Right.
Like,
if you
want to
use milk, now this is a mistake. That's so great.
Yeah, because he's like, you use milk. This is a mistake. It's very like, Yeah.
And then he gets all happy about it, though. He's like, I'm going to die, but I'm going to teach you how to make eggs. Yeah. It's great. He was awesome in that movie. And then the other one that we've all seen most recently was Ant-Man.
Yes, so good.
I was, oh my gosh. And we got free t-shirts.
You guys seen it?
Yeah, we saw it in 3D. Yeah.
What did you think of
I'm not the biggest fan of 3D, but every now and then I like a movie in 3D. Avengers was great in 3D.
Acid Trips and Ant-Man are also a lot of fun.
Was great in 3D. I was like, I've never done a drug in my life, but this makes me feel like I'm doing one.
Louis C.K. always used to say, like, he used to say, he's, I think he agrees with it. Says recently that like if you go to the AMC IMAX, they do the 5, 4, they come right at you and it's 3D. He likes to get high. He always smokes a joint before he goes to the movie, and that's to him the best part of the movie. So if the movie sucks, he has that. Yeah. And I'm just like,
at least I felt
he
good
should
with
really
that.
Freaking see Ant-Man, man. Because,
that's great.
No, because, spoiler alert, he goes subatomic.
And you
pass down through everything, and you transcend time, space, and all life and matter and atoms and all that stuff. And it's trippy.
I realized, is this
what tripping balls is like? Like, I don't know, but
you don't need to do drugs. You just need to go subatomic. I mean, that's simple.
Actually, you just need to
doing it right now,
and then watch that ending of
and then you're good.
And you're just like,
just needs a little bit more colors.
Right?
Oh my god!
And then it would
I love the kaleidoscope.
He's like, he's like this. More colors.
I've never done it.
But I really dug that movie.
Me
though.
Too. I really enjoyed it.
Maybe I have like low expectations of it.
I did too.
But I walked out of that movie like feeling like that was actually really good. Like it's not at all like any other Marvel movie, really.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like how Guardians was not like any other Marvel movie before it, and. But yet, it's also different than Guardians because it's not like, in my opinion, laugh out loud funny throughout the entire thing. Like it's funny, but it's a heist movie, and that is
Marvel heist movie.
I didn't steal anything. I'm putting something back that I stole. Damn it!
Yeah.
And of course, I'm so happy that Paul Rudd's a superhero. Like that just made me so happy when they announced that Paul Rudd was Ant-Man.
Yeah,
I didn't know much about Ant-Man. I was just like, he's a lowly superhero. I've heard, doesn't he suck? I mean, he's Ant-Man. What does he do? But, so I didn't do a lot, I didn't know a lot about Ant-Man. I love Paul Rudd. I love that he was going to be a superhero. That made me happy. And knowing that it's Marvel and Marvel Disney and not Marvel Sony, I was like, great, this is going to be good. And I was really pleased with it. Of course, there's things that are like, really? But it's a superhero movie. Of course, there's going to be that.
There's a lot of hang-ups, but a lot of the hang-ups that I have about it, when you look at him, you go, okay, did I really want to sit there and watch the ant crawl up the tire, crawl into the, you know, into the actual car, go up to the dashboard, and then climb out to move the penny around? Or, you know, do I really want to watch all the legions of ants that got inside the actual system a different way than how the little fireball ants did? So, I mean, yeah. Do I really care that much that if they break the seal on an airplane, it's going to come crawling out of there, falling out of the sky, or am I just gonna?
Yeah, they break the seal, and everyone stands there like it's not G-force winds whipping by them. And
yeah, like at
like...
that point, you're just like, okay.
And the insects. All right, well, okay. I have to say this one thing that really aggravated me about the movie, but they said, but I love the movie.
Nate should talk.
The one thing I didn't like is that they told him, or they explained it that. You are shrunk down, really super tiny, but you still have the mass and weight of a 200-pound man. So that's why he's able to like jump and like break tiles when he falls to the ground, like when he gets knocked out of the bathtub with the water,
mm-hmm.
Or when he punches people and stuff like that, like knocks him around. But yet he's able to ride an ant. Like he crushed that thing. As soon as he got on the back of that thing would just
physics. It's science.
It's pin particles at work.
right.
Yep, there we go.
But, I mean, all that aside, I really liked it. I had a good time with it.
And also, can I also just say that for those who did that... Okay, so Scott Lang is the current Ant-Man. Hank Pym is just sort of in the background doing stuff for the Avengers when need be. And he can be Ant-Man when he needs to be, but it's really Scott's game now. He's kind of like... you know how Beast was or Jean Grey was in the first X-Men movie, like the
mm-hmm.
ambassador for the X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
He's the ambassador for the scientific community for, even though there's Tony Stark, he does all that other stuff. So, but, and Scott Lang's the new whatever. I really loved Michael Douglas.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad they even brought him into it. I didn't think.
Well, no, well, see, I was worried about that too. So my dad grew up with old school Ant-Man. He had no idea who Scott Lang was, and I don't think he really even cares. But the movie, unless it's movie wise, and they did a good job of giving like I know a little bit about Scott, not a whole lot. I still know more about Pym, but for those who know who Pym is, they really, matter of fact, I wouldn't mind them doing a Hank Pym Ant-Man movie. That's what I would love to see that. Because they freaking beautifully redid they de-aged him.
Yes, everyone looks great. I was like,
well.
I was watching the movie going, whoa. They even that's better, not Michael Douglas.
Did a decent job aging Hayley Atwell. The only thing this was a nice callback, but I found it to be a little. This is me being nitpicky. The guy that plays Howard Stark, young Howard Stark, he's in Preacher, he's in Agent Carter, Captain America, wonderfully cast. Guy who plays Roger Sterling from Mad Men, wonderful actor. I like him, and there's a sense I can hear the little pattern in his voice. But I look at him and I look at the original father. I'm like, that is not the same man. At no point does he grow up old to that. Unless, some kind of
plastic
shield thing.
Plastic surgery.
Yeah. But now, the thing, it's a callback to Iron Man 2 when he was cast as Howard Stark. So there's a part of me, I was like, nice callback. I feel it's in poor taste now, but that's okay. Yeah. It's like, Terrence Howard is going to be Rhodey. We gave it to Don Cheadle, but then Terrence Howard comes back.
Right,
not
right.
A little bit like that.
Yeah.
I'm like, if you're going to de-age, or age up Hayley Atwell, freaking age up the other guy, because he's really good as Tony. Anyway, that was my only little, right off the bat, because now I'm like, but Michael Douglas looks good. And then I just remember, when there's a... Okay, so spoiler alert. They show actually one or two scenes of the old Ant-Man in action, and it's not really too intensive. It literally the first time you see him, it's
frames.
Little specks.
Mm-hmm.
But you do get a sense that you don't F with Douglas, because he beats
right.
the shit out of that guy's face at the beginning, which is awesome.
Yes.
And you get
where did the blood go?
Wipes it away.
Oh my god, Nathan did the same thing. He was
sorry.
That ruined the rest of the movie for him.
Really?
Yeah. Well, if you do one thing wrong in the movie and you can't entertain him beyond that, you can't make him break past that. He focuses on that, and the way I understand it is that if you don't care about that little detail, why should I give a care that you'll give a care for anything else in the rest of the movie?
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
But see, that to me is a continuity, script continuity, movie continuity
yeah.
glitch. I took it as he wiped the blood from, because it shows him wiping it up,
yeah.
and then he's
yeah.
holding the napkin and throws it down, and he's just like, you're not going to stop him or kill him or whatever.
I think I was more miffed about there not being any blood on the napkin.
But
at the same,
really,
it's nitpicking at the most. And,
right.
Yeah.
But now if it was a major plot flaw in the story, I'd be like, that, I have some problems with that.
Mm-hmm.
I do agree with that. For example, he cannot stand the Avengers. He's only seen one scene in the first Avengers movie, and it's the part that everyone loves. Take a guess which part it is. Because there's a lot of parts to love.
I know a part. I've heard the story before,
okay.
So I know this part already. All
right.
Oh, I'm trying
Puny
to think.
God.
Puny
oh.
God.
He hates that part.
Really?
Because... the Hulk can only reach up right here, but Sam is Loki, and Loki's over there. How can he reach that far and just grab and do it? It makes no sense to him.
I'm
going to
go
like,
with the
it's
fact
movie
that
logic, editing logic. That
I never
here,
thought about
here's
that,
the movie logic. His cape blew in the wind, and he grabbed the cape.
Yeah, but he's grabbing him by the feet.
Yeah, but then he
yeah,
switched when he yanked him up. There
can't the Hulk move, super fast? So... couldn't he have just snatched him up and then traded it?
Other fun problems that Nathan has with him. Let's throw this out. Let's complain about Nathan for a second.
All right.
So in
he's really a good guy.
Yeah, he really is. But so his problem with Spider-Man 3, a
oh.
movie.
Oh.
Okay. Okay. No.
I know
no,
the
no,
story.
No. We're not even going to talk about plot for a second, because that would be make sense.
Venom.
Even that. Venom makes sense in the confines of the movie, even though it's horribly done.
Yeah.
Okay. I hate
not
that
movie.
No,
it's
I want to be clear.
Movie.
I hate that movie.
It's a
but
bad
when
movie.
Your thought process is that the movie's bad because Sandman could never happen. Sandman in a movie with a man who web-slings around New York and fights an alien symbiote. He didn't have a problem with a symbiote. Venom's okay. That makes sense. But a Sandman could never happen.
Oh,
that's
what?
Your beef with the movie? then that's when you realize that, oh shit, that just happened.
Nick's breaking his chair.
Yeah, I'm breaking my chair. Hey, what's up? So, shit, it's going wrong.
Yeah, it's happening here, too.
So, I'm probably going to fall soon. So, that's going to be fun.
As long as a rod doesn't you know, disappear.
Yeah. We have a problem. Echo 19, we do have a problem. The bar has disappeared up my ass. I repeat, the bar has disappeared up my ass.
I can only sit straight now.
No, we had 10 bars. But we need a new one, so this is good. This is good. I'm justifying,
yeah, getting a new one.
Yeah, yeah. And, but also, screw Nathan. This is his fault.
Speaking of the devil.
Yeah. But no, he has problems with that. Like, he hated War of the Worlds. But again, not for the reason you would think.
I never even saw that one.
His problem with World of the Worlds is that...
I don't want to.
And this is his problem with all American movies, is how is it that they only attack the Americans and we don't see anything else? Now, in the movie, to me, if you paid attention, you get the impression that this is impacting all the world, but you're just following Tom Cruise's family. Now, you could also nitpick, and I agree with this nitpick a little bit, is that beginning when the blasts are firing, he says that it clearly touches Tom Cruise, and if you do watch in slow motion, it does look like it touched him, but he magically survives. I wouldn't go that far, but it looks like it almost hits him, but somehow he... Yeah, that's common sense stuff. His problem, though, with the movie going further is that, yeah, he just throws a grenade into the mothership, and they all die. And I'm like, what movie are you watching? That is not what happened at all.
I mean, I know a grenade was thrown into one of the tripods and everybody died, but that's because no one probably...
But that makes sense. He's saying that the grenade killed was the mothership tripod, and it killed all the tripods all across the globe. It had nothing to do... with Morgan Freeman at the end saying that it was disease that killed the things.
Right. The amoeba or whatever.
They might be confusing that with, you know, Independence Day.
But I'm going to go ahead and write this movie.
My absolute favorite tidbit, you know, behind the scenes, you know, fun facts about that movie is I think it was you who told me about it, Nick. One of you guys told me about it. In the end, when they light up their cigars, you know, Will Smith's face is all scrunched up. You know, he's like, okay, and it's because they really lit up cigars. Will Smith couldn't handle the smoke, but then there is freaking Jeff Goldblum is in there like a boss, just like,
yeah.
Totally, like, his face is relaxed. He's like, yup. And I'm like, that's hilarious to me.
He has a little glass of scotch in one hand.
Yeah, because Jeff Goldblum is the man. And that movie just proved it.
Speaking of Jeff Goldblum, to go back to Jurassic World for a second, did you catch the little nod to the first movie with the blood drops?
I did not.
When the blood drops, it hits. There's two drops that hit the Japanese guy's arm. The first hits over here, the second one hits, then it drops a third time, same spot, but rolls down in the opposite direction, which is a nod to Chaos, where he's like trying to hit on Ellie.
Yeah.
He's like, if you drop a water here, Ellie, can I look at your fine hand and drop it right here?
Yeah.
This is Chaos at work. It goes down this way, he goes down this way, it goes down the opposite direction. That's because it's Chaos. And you're just like, oh, I see what you did there.
I did not catch that. I'm so sad. Didn't he shoot like an entire cameo and then they didn't use
it? Well, no, they used it, but it's not what you're thinking of. He's in a book. The book that the assistant's reading in the train, it's God Creates Man. Or Man Creates Dinosaurs or whatever. And literally, they said it came in. They called it a literal cameo, but literally he just sat there and did a photo shoot dressed like Dr. Malcolm, and he just did a...
Gotcha.
Yeah, and it's on the back of the book. So, and there's another close above it too when Jake Johnson, the guy from New Girl, with the Jurassic Park shirt.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Don't you think that's in poor taste?
He's like, no, this is vintage. Right? Best $150 I ever spent. Yeah, that guy. There's another close up of his like shelf, and he has a book there, and you can see it there too. So I was like, yeah,
all right. Everybody knock off his dinosaurs. Like everybody there, even Chris Pratt.
They hated
like,
on him so much. He was like, they're cool.
I felt
cool.
bad for the guy.
There
Me
was a
too.
Scene that was cut out where I feel there was something off. Like, why is Chris Pratt yelling at the one security guy in the lab? Like, what is he trying to accomplish?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
there's beef there.
But why? Like, is he trying to find out what they did to the lab? But they never say that. You just get a picture, and he's just going, rah, 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 rah. I can get him. He can save my nephews, which I should have given a crap about in the first place. But anyway, no, yeah, sorry.
I know she was. I was like, who is this woman?
Bryce Howard.
So Bryce we should go
which
back.
Is, yes, the Ant-Man. Yes. Yeah. Well, I was going to say, which let up. Me go back to Ant to Spider-Man, which made me go back to Ant-Man. Because Spider-Man has a verbal cameo in Ant-Man.
He does?
the first ending, or not the first ending, the original.
It has two endings, by the way.
Yes,
there's or it has two. Stingers.
Two stingers. The normal ending of the movie is like there's this girl who's just like, you gotta be more specific, bro. Are you talking about a man who jumps, who clings, who climbs on walls?
Oh yeah,
that's Spider-Man.
Yeah,
that's the only way they could really get him in there.
Yeah. I loved that whole scene. Like anything that was coming through that henchman's dialogue.
So
was so hilarious. It was so racist and so trope, but it was so hilarious.
My mom, the entire movie, was just like, I like him, but he's an idiot. Like, he's so funny because he's an idiot. Like, he's like, we'll be okay, we'll be okay. Nothing's going to stop us from helping out Scott. And then it's like,
back it up.
Yeah, so that was pretty, yeah. I enjoyed that movie a good deal.
Yeah.
I thought it was good.
I love how he was just the waffle maker, though. Like, everybody was doing all this technical stuff. He's over there, like, whisking up waffles.
So, how have you been, man? He's like, how's your girlfriend? Oh, well, she broke up with me, man. And my father, he got deported. And my grandmother died. But I got the van.
he's got this, like, straight smile across his face the whole time in that movie. He's just like, yeah, man.
But
yeah.
He ended up being pretty
and
much
he
a badass.
He was hilarious. And I just, you know, we're going to go help Scott. Now back it up.
Backing on up.
Nice and slow. Backing on up. I was laughing through that whole sequence.
I will say there is a flaw I did realize the second time I saw it, and I didn't catch it before. But, and I hope it's on, like, deleted scenes or something on the disc. But he's never shrunk himself down. Corey Stroll's Dr. Cross never shrunk himself down in the movie or alluded that he shrunk down until the end where he's like, you've been shrunk down too many, you've done this too many times, it's warped your mind. And you're just going like, wait, what? At what point did he shrink himself down
right.
in the yellow jacket suit?
Because I was a little confused with that too, because the Evangeline Lilly was just like, you know, oh, you're going to be okay, your brain's, you know, you're a little warped.
Yeah.
So, I mean, was it that, is it sort of like radiation, when you're around it too much, it starts to warp you?
Well, that's the thing, you get a sense from Dr. Pym, too, that something...
is a little...
Yeah, it goes, maybe, but...
Crack in the brain.
Well, they did a good thing, I mean, saying that Hank Pym, he's like, I can't do this anymore.
Taking
I can't
toll.
Wear this suit anymore, because...
Honestly, ultimately, my first thing was physically, but especially after that
that's
comment.
What I thought, too.
But I looking back, I think that's a genuine plot hole, because Pym particles are actually absolute. Dr. Cross's particles are messed up. They're not. No, I'm thinking. That's the only thing I can think of. And so for Pym, it was the emotional toll of putting on the suit.
That makes sense.
He wants to live to see his daughter, and she wants her to. But then I have a little problem with that, too. Like, I love me some Wasp.
Yeah.
I love me some Evangeline Lilly. I love Freckles. Because if those who've seen Lost, that's her nickname, and Lost was Freckles.
Mm-hmm.
She's freaking awesome.
I like me some Tom Sawyer.
Yeah.
So. I haven't watched Lost.
Oh. I will...
Shift
that's
gears.
That's another
thing.
Another
we could
thing.
Spend a whole another
I,
episode
I
on
love,
that itself.
I love Evangeline Lilly, and I love her...
She is very pretty.
Oh my lord, the dog just jumped on me. But I know I love her Wasp too. But at the end of the movie, you get the impression that she could have wore the Ant-Man suit the entire time.
Yeah, she could have.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't want to lose her, get her hurt like he did his wife,
yeah.
The original Wasp. But then at the end, one of the singer spoiler alert is that he goes, "We were really probably building it for you the entire time, this new and improved Wasp suit." And you're just like, "Cool," but now you're going, "Well, wait, why?" Are you
well, yeah, him and his wife did it together, started it together, and then he lost her, and then he shut it down. And
right.
now, but after all this with Scott, and you know, they're making out, he's like,
which,
it's okay now, which
well,
the,
yeah,
I would think it would take a little more convincing for him to still put her in a suit either way.
Right.
So,
I think that, okay, now, I agree, it's kind of weird that he's fighting to keep her out of the suit, then he's like, oh no, it's cool, we got you this one here. But there's a whole, like a whole series of it where, like, they have their, you know, he finally tells her what happened to Mom. Right, and then they have the whole...
It was.
Right, so, like, they're on a whole nother level than when he was denying her.
Oh, no, true. But, like when that's your main motivation, and then your main motivation, you just sort of go against... Now, granted, though, that was great, too. And it played better the second time I saw that movie for me, where he's just like, I ruined it, didn't I?
I ruined the moment. That was so funny.
Yeah.
And he's like, yes! Just, oh, loved it. So Ryan and I have only seen those movies once. So I feel like I want to go watch it again.
I wouldn't mind seeing it again. Ant-Man was fun.
Ant-Man was great. Fun. And the best part was we got free t-shirts.
Yeah.
What the hell? I didn't get free t-shirts.
It was left over from the premiere because they only had like small and extra large left.
Which says a lot about a lot of things.
It says so much. So, yeah. But, so, I like movies. I like going to movies. I really want to see Terminator Genesis, even though I know it's going to be terrible. And I'm really.
Yeah,
but
I'm a little.
It's terrible.
But
have you seen it?
No, but I've
heard.
I know Pete. Well, I've seen, I guess, secondhand because I didn't get to see it. So a couple people I know went to see it.
They didn't like it.
Couldn't do anything because I need to watch it so I can validate their hang-ups on it.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm just such a huge fan of Terminator and T2, and it's just
Especially when you grew up with it.
Yeah, I grew up with it. Mm-hmm. And after T2, I don't like recognize any of the rest of them. Salvation was okay in its own right, but not really in the Terminator universe. It sort of, but
I dug Salvation.
That was
Salvation
was
a good movie,
one,
but
right?
it. I didn't feel that it was like super Terminator. It was like, oh.
Was that the John Connor side where they're talking like it's all from the Resistance with Christian
mm-hmm.
Bale?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was a good standalone.
Yeah, it was
universe.
A good standalone movie.
They were trying
but
to have it kick off another saga of films and then it didn't necessarily work.
Yeah,
so
it didn't
rebooted it like
happen.
Again. And But I thought it worked out well for setting everything up for like another sequel with Christian Bale and all that. But they didn't.
Open
they didn't go further.
In the
yeah. They didn't go
nothing
further
could
with
go
it.
Wrong with open heart surgery in the desert.
No.
Just saying.
Well, you know, the
oh,
sand
no,
helps
yeah.
keep everything together.
Right. It compacts it down.
Yeah.
And makes it better.
Yeah, it makes it heal faster.
No!
opening up like a tauntaun.
Yeah, so, I don't know.
I'm excited to see it only because I'm happy Schwarzenegger's back. Ryan and I have been on a Schwarzenegger kick. We've watched, like, oh my gosh, we watched Running Man, which inspired me to read the book, which I'm halfway through right now. So we watched Running Man, we watched Total Recall, Terminator,
Commando,
which is one of my absolute favorite movies ever, Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah.
We watched, oh, there's another one I'm missing, Maggie, oh my gosh. But that was
Maggie was really good.
Have you watched Maggie yet?
No, but I heard it was a tour de force.
Freaking
it was
amazing.
Awesome tour de force, yeah.
Freaking amazing. If anyone out there, if you have not seen Maggie yet, please go see it. It is so good. That movie stuck with me for days.
Wow.
Days. I was just couldn't stop thinking about it. Fantastic movie. Great performances.
Yeah.
I mean, and if you think that it's oh, Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to go out and kill a bunch of zombies,
oh, no,
that's
not
at all what it is.
That.
It's fantastic.
It's more like dealing with the loss of the daughter slowly turning into
yes.
a zombie.
And
I mean, you got the impression that Arnold had no issue at all taking out zombies. Like, it was so far into the future of the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, it was second nature to everybody.
Just, the, you know, it is what it is. You put them down, you call the sheriff, they come register who it was,
mm-hmm.
they have family.
Yeah,
know,
there was a
like
system
that.
Put in place because it's that far into the apocalypse.
Yeah.
They're living with it now. It's part of daily life at this point.
Wow.
Yeah,
and
it's
the videography was amazing.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful movie.
And
oh my gosh.
Arnold did so much. Like, okay. I would have never, ever pegged Arnold to be an actor that didn't have to talk to entertain, right? So, like, he's in this movie.
Well, his accent's half what you recognize
right.
about him.
But he's in this movie, and he's just, like, I don't know.
He's emoting so much.
Yeah, he actually shows emotion. I mean, I'm sure there's somebody out there that's like, oh, this is crap. But,
well, and it's never been about him being a bad actor or anything, but in this one, you see a whole new side to him as a performer.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Check it out.
I wanted to.
It's so good.
Because who is it? Isn't the girl from
Zombieland?
Yeah,
Lil Rock.
The girl from Independence Day.
Yes.
No.
That's
that's Mae Whitman.
Yes.
Sorry.
I was
going to
say that girl.
I'm sorry.
For a moment, because they both have like the squirrel cheeks.
Yeah.
So
I was trying to tie it back around one more time. Before I failed.
That was a fail.
But yeah.
But yeah, Maggie was in.
It was really good.
So,
worth it.
I think we've come to a good spot. to wrap it up. So talked a lot about movies today. So a lot of spoiler alerts, and I'm going to put spoiler alert in big letters several times on the front of the page.
Right, right, right.
We warned them, you know, spoiler alert. But then there was no pause.
We're warning you now. There's spoiler alerts all over the page.
In regards to Jurassic World, it's been out long enough. If you haven't seen it, then that's your fault.
Oh no, I agree.
What is the official time frame?
There is no official
5 minutes after the movie.
I literally feel
that if the movie's hot, like, or everyone's expecting it to be big,
like Jurassic World and Genesis,
Ant-Man and Genesis and all that, I would say you have a week.
Yeah,
that's I think that's a good time frame.
Now after that though, TV, I feel like it could be 2 weeks, just because people will digest TV differently now.
Hannibal, getting in the red dragon.
But you know, there really is no right answer for that question, sadly. There isn't, anyway.
But I like how we would say spoiler alert, then keep talking, and there was no pause for anybody. So you better be quick with your pause button, folks.
If you're hearing this now.
All right, so let's go ahead and wrap it on up. Tell us who you are and where we can find you.
My name is Nick Argenbright, a.k.a. me from earlier in the episode. You can find my stuff at gbgpodcast.com, Twitter at goodbadgeeky, or utmnt.com.
Ryan Eastup with Random Subject Generator, RSG Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at RSG Podcast, rsgpodcast.com. You can also find us on Facebooks at Random Subject Generator.
And last but not least, the love of all of your lives is Samantha Stark from notanotherpodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. Find me on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. James on Twitter at James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not a Y. You can also find find Bryce and Big Jim Willig on our podcast as well. And peace out.